Hello and welcome to another episode of New Every Day. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Jen.
And today we're going to be talking about Luke chapter 5.
Yo, what up? We're talking about, let's wrap it out. I'm down with it. Show. We're so glad that you're tuning in. And Luke chapter 5 begins like this. One day, as Jesus was teaching the people, the Pharisees and teachers of the law from every town in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem were there. The Lord was giving Jesus the power to heal. Just then, some men were carrying on a mat a man who was paralyzed. They tried to bring him in and put him down before Jesus. But because there were so many people, they could not find a way in. So they went up on the roof and lowered the man on his mat through the ceiling into the middle of the crowd right before Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Jewish teachers of the law and the Pharisees thought to themselves, "Who is this man who is speaking as if he were God? Only God can forgive sins." But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and walk'? But I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, stand up, take your mat, and go home." At once the man stood up before them, picked up his mat, and went home, praising God. All the people were fully amazed and began to praise God. They were filled with much respect and said, "Today we have seen amazing things." Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, every time I read that passage, so many things strike me. I think one of the first things, as I was just reading it right then, was the fact that Jesus actually told the man to go home.
Why does that surprise you?
Well, he didn't say, "Stay with me." Like, he said, "You saw what I did. Go home. Take what I've done for you. Now go home." Like, Jesus isn't calling people to, you know, just come and stay, come and stay, come and stay, come and, you know, hear my teaching, hear my teaching, hear my teaching. Come, hear my teaching. Now go home and tell other people about what has happened to you. Tell your story. Go home.
That's like when Jesus came to a certain area and there was a guy who had been possessed by demons, mm-hmm. and he was bonkers.
Yeah.
And Jesus healed him, and he was in his right mind, and he wanted to go. The people of the town were scared, and they were like, "Jesus, you better go." But this guy said he wanted to stay with him, but Jesus said, "No, go back to your own family, go back to your own area," so that he could share.
Yeah. And I just find Jesus, you know, as I'm reading this passage, Jesus is, you know, he heals him. And then he's like, "Now go and tell about it." Mm-hmm. Like, and it challenges me to say, okay, am I telling people about what God is doing in my life? How Jesus has healed me for the purpose that then they will go and meet Jesus and be healed. And then he'll say to them, "Now you go home. Tell people about what I've done for you." Mm-hmm. And then they'll come. So it challenges me to say, am I telling my story? Am I telling my story about what Jesus has done in my life?
That's something I never caught in this passage. And it's Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 26. That's what Jen was reading. What I find interesting about this is that in another area, is mm-hmm. it Mark?
Mark, yep.
Mark chapter 2, I think. The friends who, they had to have faith too that Jesus was going to do this. Because if he was a paralytic, he probably didn't have any money to pay these guys off to say, "Come and bring me to him."
Yeah.
But they exhibited the same faith that as the man who was coming and willing to be healed. That they actually dug through the roof to lower the guy down in front of Jesus.
Yes.
And that's amazing to me, in front of all these people. So it didn't matter. They saw the end result of him being healed as more important than whatever anyone else thought about them, that they cared about as that much for their friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yet, while I'm reading that passage, I'm thinking, like what you just said, that they dug through the roof, right? They are persevering through to the end. And I'm looking at it thinking, I'm being the guy underneath the roof.
Being like, ugh.
Exactly. Like, how dare you? I got here on time. I am front row. I pay good money for these seats. Jesus is right there, because it says he let them down in the middle of the people, right in front of Jesus. And I'm thinking to myself, how would the Pharisees or those people who got there first, how would they have felt? Like, would they have felt like, yes, Jesus? And I think sometimes we can miss the miracle because we're hurt or offended. So here they've dug through the roof.
Yeah.
They lower Jesus. Yeah. And this person, he didn't pay for those seats. He can't even walk. He had to get his friends to come and bring him. How dare he interrupt what Jesus is doing for me? And I've thought about it a lot as people who are not like me who come into the church, or new people who come into church, and you know, they get attention or they have special gifts or whatever, and then all of a sudden the focus might be off of me, or maybe the ministry starts going in a different direction. It's, well, who do they think they are? Mm-hmm. Like, they've only been in this church for 6 months, or they've only been here for, I've been here for, you know, 57 years. You know, I have been faithful to this church, you know? Not that I'm 57, I'm just using a random number. But I think people are cheesed. Like, they are upset because what they think should be the order of things has been interrupted.
What's interesting here is that Jesus even shakes up the order of things that the people who brought the guy were thinking of in the first place, because the first thing that Jesus says, when Jesus saw their faith, this is verse 20, he said, friend, which I love, so automatically welcomes in, loves him.
Yeah.
Doesn't say, you know, isn't shocked by it, but calls him friend.
Yeah.
Your sins are forgiven, period.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that was the priority. Jesus saw past him being paralyzed. Because that the outward man wastes away, but it's the inward man that is renewed day by day. It's the inward man that Jesus focuses on. Friend, your sins are forgiven. That's the most important thing, is forgiven sins.
Yeah.
You don't have to, we don't have to have legs that work to be useful to the kingdom. We don't have to have eyes that see. We don't have to be able to talk. We don't have to be smart. We don't have to be whatever. But you have to have your sins forgiven by Jesus himself. And when we turn to him and ask for forgiveness, that's when he welcomes us in.
Now, question, Carrie. When it says, the Jewish teachers of the law and the Pharisees thought to themselves, who is this man who is speaking as if he were God? Only God can forgive sins. What is your take on that? I flipped it because I struggle with that sentence.
Okay, why do you struggle with it?
Because it goes on to say, you know, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say stand up and walk? So I'll say stand up and walk. I don't know how many times I've read it and I'm like, okay, so only God, I understand that only God can forgive sins, like, because of what Jesus has done.
But Jesus is God.
Yes.
This is him saying, I am God.
So why does he compare it, though, to the, like, which is easier? Stand up and walk, or your sins are forgiven. Like, part of me wants to say, is he saying there is a link between sin and physical illness?
See, I didn't read it that way at all. Because I look at the man who was born blind, and the disciples said, well, who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus was like, neither. He said, this happens so that God might be glorified. So right. I don't necessarily make that connection here. I don't know if I'm right or not. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? Is he saying, like, well, what do you think there?
Well, this is part of my struggle. Like, is there, because I think sometimes we can have physical illness because of sin. I think it's both and. I think not always do we have a physical ailment and it's related to sin. I also know that in heaven, there will be no illness. And so illness is a result of the fall and the sinful world that we live in. And not every situation is the same. So I think sometimes we are ill because of certain sins, and I'm, you know, and yet I think sometimes it's like the man who was born blind. This is for the glory of God, so that he can be revealed. But in any case, so I'm wondering because it says, you know, his sins are forgiven, get up or stand up and walk. I'm wondering, was there sin in the man's life?
Well, yeah, because he said your sins are forgiven.
And so as a result of his sins being forgiven, it loosed whatever it was that was keeping him paralyzed, and he was able to rise up and walk. There's another passage in the Old Testament where it says, bitterness causes our bones to be brittle. And it's like, interesting. And, you know, throughout, it's interesting to read, and you're the nurse. And so as I say this, then, like, we've talked about how when people are feeling whatever in their lives, that sometimes will come out in their body. And so I think there is a connection between what we are experiencing in our lives and how our body mm-hmm. responds to it. So that's why I think I often struggle with those two phrases. Yes, he is forgiven. And so Jesus has wiped out his sins. So as a result, he could stand up and walk. So the flip side was, well, if Jesus has said, stand up and walk, so it's like, it's implicit then that Jesus forgave his sins because it was his sin that was keeping him on the mat. I know. That's why I sort of wrestle with this passage.
Well, I don't know that I agree.
And that is okay.
Let us know what you think. Category 5? Nope. That's our host.
That's
new
our host.
neweveryday.tv is our website. And if you go to contact, then you can send us an email or you can visit us on Facebook. And I'd love to hear what you think about this as well. Maybe because Jesus had performed other miracles, physical miracles, mm-hmm. is he saying, like, it's the same for me to heal physically, and I am also have the power to do, I have the authority to forgive sins. I have the authority in the physical realm, I have the authority in the spiritual realm to forgive sins.
Right. I know of a personal incident of a woman who came for physical healing. And I said, what is the problem? And she said, I have this pain in my back. Would you pray for me? And I felt like I should ask her if she's, you know, carrying a burden. And just ask her what was going on in her life. And she said, well, my son is moving out, and this son is moving away, and this son is getting married, and I'm just feeling very upset and worried. I'm like, have you released them? Like, are you relying on your sons to take care of you? And as a result, now that they're moving away, you have a fear that's coming in that is, like, almost crippling you or paralyzing you. She was like, I've never thought, okay. So she forgave her sins and released them, or forgave her sons and released them. And then I said, so how are you feeling? And she's like, the pain is gone. So I guess that's a personal experience where I have seen, like, where sin in her life, that whole control, holding on, was causing a physical ailment on her own body. But I don't think every single ailment mm-hmm. is like that. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, that's a tricky space, because I read about someone like Annie Johnston Flint, who she was orphaned, and then she went through foster care, and she eventually was with the Flint family. This is back, I think, I want to say late 1800s, early 1900s, I'm not sure. But Robbie Ferguson will magically put a link to her biography, and then you can find out for yourself. Anyways, she, at a very young age, was riddled with rheumatoid arthritis. She was bedridden. She was in a lot of pain all of the time. And yet God used that trial in her life to produce some of the most amazing biblical poetry, like mm-hmm. inspired by the Bible, and hymns about overcoming suffering and looking to Christ through our suffering and anticipating his return and anticipating heaven when she's going to be made new. And those poems and those hymns have been so meaningful to so many people, myself included. And had she not gone through those trials, then that fruit wouldn't have been made.
I totally agree. C.S. Lewis says that pain is God's megaphone to the world. And through suffering is often when we cry out to the Lord, and because it's so real. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I believe that God uses whatever situation we're in. Mm-hmm. And sometimes some of the most painful ones is where he really gets our attention. And I was just watching a movie this past week, and one of the quotes in it was, most atheists were believers at one time. Hmm. But because they had a run-in with the Lord, he didn't answer prayer, he didn't come through in their pain, well, then God can't possibly be real. And so they turned. Hmm. And I think we have to be careful in our pain and our suffering that we stay as close to God as possible. That, you know, as this woman, her soul cried out to God in the midst of her pain and her suffering, and as a result was a blessing. God used her circumstances to draw others to him. So just like this man in Luke, his circumstances challenged his friends, actually. They motivated his friends. And I think sometimes, circumstances happen, like to this man who was paralyzed. Well, he had to rely on his friends. So all of a sudden, compassion and mercy and commitment is welled up in those four friends that would never have come unless this had happened to the paralyzed man. Because he was paralyzed. So who fed him? Who cared for his needs? Like, who gave him a cup of cold? It was those friends or his family. And it was those friends that were stirred by what Jesus was doing that were like, okay, let's pick up our friend. So it was like a both and. It was like the friend was stirring those things up, the paralyzed man, but also the friends were motivated by faith in what they'd seen Jesus do too. Like, they needed each other.
And then so they were brought to Jesus because of what happened to that man.
Yeah.
Or else they probably wouldn't have been there that day. Who knows?
Yeah. You know? So, and the mere fact that they didn't give up.
That they dug through the roof. It wasn't like, oh, it's busy, there's a lineup, forget it. Yeah.
They persevered. Like, and it doesn't say they own the home. So here they are digging through.
Would insurance cover that?
And it just, mm-hmm. it challenges me as a friend to say, how far am I willing to go that my other friends meet Jesus? Mm. That they experience this healing touch. Like, am I willing to go out of my way? Because, like, it says they dug through the roof. So, but it was a roof. So does that mean, like, it was hard? Because we often are told in Bible times that it was almost like another room sometimes, that they would go up there and rest or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
And so when I think dog, I think like
they
shovels.
Have to get through, yeah.
So I'm like, it challenges me as a friend to say, would I really go that far? Would I inconvenience myself? Would I get dirty? Would I, to the point of exhaustion, right? I'm carrying this man. I'm digging through the roof. I'm physically becoming tired so that this person can meet Jesus. Like, it's very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, I just think about when kids call up for a ride to youth and they don't know Jesus, but they want to, or they're on their way to Jesus, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to get in the car. They're in the other end of town. Gas, time. I have to find someone else to go with me just because of the whole plan to protect and making sure we're doing things safely. And then if this kid comes to know Jesus, like, that's the thought that comes into my mind, then all of it,
everything is worth it.
Is worth it.
And a very small price to pay. Like, you know, what's yeah. gas?
Yeah.
What's money?
Yeah.
You know? And God can repay that. Like, he can bring it back to you yeah. if he wants to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he has his own economy. Like, he just works things out in a way that we just go, oh.
I know, he says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So he can provide
yeah.
a hamburger. Or more. Anyways. What do you think about when the Pharisees and the teachers of the law begin thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus, it says, Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? He already knew what they were thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great question. Like, what are you thinking? Like, are you...
I'm thinking that you can't hide anything from Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That he already knows. And yet he consistently told the Pharisees throughout the Gospels what the truth is. He didn't stop telling them. They were always around, and he still showed them mercy and still
yeah.
shared with them. So,
and you can't hide anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, we spoke about this in a previous show, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, but your face speaks. Like, so often I've said to you, let me rearrange my face. Hold on a second. Let me just, like, all right, let's try this again.
Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that.
Yes. But you knew what was inside my heart by the way I first responded. And so Jesus knew. Like, he just knew. He could tell by the way... I think he watched people. Like, he would have seen the dirt coming down.
But he's also God.
He's also God.
And knows everything, the end from the beginning.
So it's like, he knew
mm-hmm.
what was in their hearts because of their actions, because of the way they saw. And, you know, that spirit of discernment. Like, we just... He knew.
Mm-hmm.
He... Yeah, you can't hide anything from God.
Yeah. And maybe that's where we can wrap it up today, in that it's okay to have questions about scripture and to ask God questions, and he already knows what you're thinking anyways.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I always really appreciate just reading a passage of scripture and just talking about why it's been meaningful, and then praying about it, and who knows how God will bring that scripture to mind later on in the week.
Yeah. And so we encourage you to do that. We read through Luke 5. It's also in Matthew and in Mark. And ask the Lord what it is that he would have you to learn from this passage. So,
do you want to end in prayer there, Jen?
Sure. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that your word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Piercing between bone and marrow. So we ask for your truth this morning. Lord, to penetrate our hearts. What is it that you want us to take from this passage and apply to our lives? Would you show us where we have doubted that you really do see everything? Would you show us where we've doubted that you are able to heal? Would you show us where we have failed to go that extra mile to bring a friend to know you? Would you remind us that you call us friend? And that when we come to you, you accept us. We thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy. And thank you that you make crooked things straight, as you did for that paralyzed man. You are good. We thank you, Jesus, in your name.
Amen. Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope to see you next week at the same time at neweveryday.tv. Please send us a message on Facebook. Send us an email. It'd be really great to hear from you. We want to thank Category 5 TV and Robbie Ferguson, our director and producer, for helping make this show possible. And thank you to Eco Alkalines. They are the batteries that power our camera and our microphones. All right. Thank you there, Jennifer. Have a great week.
See you later.